This morning's Old Testament reading, first reading, is from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Second reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and does not see it, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Okay, a little Disney for you. Why is Gaston the smartest Disney villain? Because he won the Nobel Prize. What did Snow White say when her photos weren't ready yet? "Someday my prince will come." And which princess makes the best corny Disney jokes? Rapunzel. All right, I'm going to give you a movie song challenge. And I want you to shout out the name of the Disney movie from which it comes. "Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down." Mary Poppins, very good. "When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are." Pinocchio. "You've got a friend in me." Toy Story, very good. "I know you. The gleam in your eyes is so familiar a gleam." Sleeping Beauty. "You're welcome." That was a song lyric. Song title, Moana, very good. "I don't know where, I don't know how, but I know something's starting right now. Watch and you'll see. Someday I'll be part of your world." Little Mermaid, very good. Jonathan down here, he's got them. He's got you covered. Hey, Disney movies have always had wonderful soundtracks and memorable songs, 14 of which have won the Academy Award as Best Song of the Year. And in 2013 to 14, you could not escape one particular Disney song. I mean, it was everywhere. It was on the radio. It turned on the TV and you heard it. Kids were singing it wherever you went. Children, teens, young people, not so young people, older folks all sang along. And it was from the movie Frozen, and it was Let It Go. Became a worldwide smash hit. And in it, the character of Elsa, voiced by Broadway great Idina Menzel, sang, "Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway." It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small. And the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. The lyrics seem to resonate with a large majority of the population. I mean, the defiance, the resolution, the freedom and transformation of leaving the fearful past behind and embracing a new future deeply touched hearts and souls on so many different levels. I mean, it is truly one of the greatest songs in movie history. And it touches us because we waste so much time being fearful, wanting to control everything. I mean, we waste so much energy worrying about what people are going to do, especially to me, how to affect change in loved ones. So we worry about how to get others to see choices, life, politics, or religion through the same experiential lens that has benefited us so richly. Jesus, however, says, forget that. Jesus says to let it go and let God work through us by taking up the cross and denying ourselves. Jesus says to release the unnecessary burdens of trying to control how others behave, of seeking their approval, or forcing relationships to be what they want them to be. There is wisdom in understanding. I know, sweetie, you hear me. Sorry, that's not happened. Maybe she hears passion in my voice. I'm not sure. Anyway, there is wisdom in understanding that we can seldom change, reform, modify, alter, or mold people after our own image, no matter how hard we try. It just doesn't work. Jesus calls for us to let go of ourselves. The essence of Christianity is not about self-fulfillment, but about self-denial. Jesus makes it clear, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I mean, to carry one's cross in biblical times was not a metaphor for minor inconveniences. It was a symbol of death, a very agonizing death, death to self, to personal ambition, and to the illusion of control over one's life. And this is in sharp contrast with the modern self-help movement, which focuses on self-actualization, self-realization, self-esteem, self-awareness, self-sufficiency, self-empowerment, self-control. And there are lots more, of course. But the irony is that any discipline aiming to improve the self always involves the death of self. And this is the paradox. You can improve yourself as a person, no problem. But you're going to need to let some things go in order to do so. I mean, growth, even life itself, requires letting go of the very self that we're trying to enhance. I mean, Jesus put it this way, for those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will save it. There's no one who can make significant progress with those selves. And I mentioned without engaging another set of selves. I'm sorry, that came out wrong. There is no one who can make significant progress with those selves that I mentioned without engaging another set of selves. That's better. The selves that nobody wants to talk about. Self-denial, self-discipline, and self-sacrifice. Whether it's breaking bad habits, adopting healthier routines, or cultivating deeper relationships, improvement often demands the death of old ways, of old mindsets, old habits, and old identities. True transformation requires dying to self rather than elevating it. I mean, so many people in our society today wear a cross as a fashion statement, and I realized I meant to wear a cross today. They wear it as a fashion statement, not as a symbol of faith. I mean, many non-believers can be seen wearing a cross necklace or even having it tattooed on their body. Or wearing it on their clothing. But a cross was never meant to be a mere adornment, but a call to transformation. I mean, in a sense, Jesus reminds us that the cross is not something we wear, it's something we carry. The cross isn't just a reminder of what Jesus did. It's a call to how we should live in humility, sacrifice, and obedience. I mean, too often, our faith can be reduced to external markers, a cross necklace, a bumper sticker, a social media bio, without the internal transformation that the cross demands. The cross is a challenge, not a comfort zone. The cross should make us uncomfortable. And while the cross ultimately represents hope and salvation, it first represents death, the death of self, of sin, and selfish ambition. And if we were to get real about this, we would understand that the cross is not a fashion statement. It is a declaration of surrender. We are called to live lives in which we let go and let God have control as we embrace an attitude that surrenders our will to God's. A let God life rejects a me-centered life. This is a life in which you've stopped living your truth and stopped putting yourself first. A let God life surrenders control to God. Self-denial means trusting God's will over your own plans, your ambitions, and your comfort. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. A let go life loves others sacrificially. And this contrasts with a self-focused world that tells us to prioritize our own happiness. Jesus calls us to love even when it's inconvenient, when it's costly or it's difficult. It means forgiving someone who's meaner than a nest of wasps. A let go God resists cultural pressures Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, Paul wrote to the Romans. And finally, a let God life includes a daily dying to self. I mean, self-denial isn't just one big moment of sacrifice. It's a daily commitment. It means saying no to pride, to selfishness, laziness, or the desire for recognition. Wearing a cross is easy. Living the cross is costly. The cross is not an accessory. It's a way of life that calls us to humility, to sacrifice, and unwavering faithfulness to Christ. Jesus' call to discipleship is not a passive invitation. It's a command to actively take up a cross. In Roman times, carrying a cross meant heading toward execution. Carrying a cross may mean sacrificing our comfort. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer noted, discipleship doesn't come cheap. It often involves hardship. Jesus calls us to let go of ourselves and let God be in control. Will we let God rule our lives? Will we let God lead us even when it costs us? Will we let God be our everything? In the word of Joshua, ancient Israel's second leader who led them after Moses into the promised land, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.